All right, folks, it's been a hard week. So I want to open the space by saying there is Kleenex boxes floating around. If you need them, move to find them. Our folks here have them in the back. Also know if you need to stand, you know, there'll be a little movement here in the sermon, but if you need to stand, if you need to sit on the floor, if you need to walk around, just ask that you do it on the outskirts of the room to be able to make sure that people are able to listen. If you want to color, I will not think it is rude if you just get up and you need to walk. If you get up, you need to color, you need to make stress balls and take care of you. And that is the whole thing we're doing today, is we're taking care of ourselves and taking care of each other. You know, it was the election, the sermon after the election in 2016 that helped me realize I wanted to be a minister. So it's a real honor for me to get to be here with all of you guys today on this day. You know, after a contentious election cycle, you know, there's many feelings of all different kinds this week. You know, there are some who celebrate this victory, but for many people, myself included, these results bring with them sadness, you know, mourning a future that is simply not to be. As Unitarian Universalists, we lead with our values, including the belief that every person has inherent worth and dignity, with love as our most central value. You know, the democratic process is a sacred part of our tradition because every person's voice is valuable. You know, many UUs have been working tirelessly to get out the vote, to protest against the U.S. involvement in Palestine, to do all of these different things in this election cycle to make our voices and values known by the candidates of this election. And now the results are in, and they bring with them disappointment after so much work. It is almost impossible to see love as the central value of our president-elect. And the anticipatory anxiety of what a future will look like with values of greed and exclusion at the center of our country has felt profound for many. And like our reading today demonstrated, it is so challenging to experience this time of deep political divide. And you know, many, myself included, worry for the safety of our communities, our LGBTQ plus communities, our BIPOC communities. You know, those who are grieving the results of this election are navigating a period of anticipatory grief and fear. And these feelings are challenging because we have not yet had that future, but there is the present emotional response in our hearts and our bodies as if it is happening right now. You know, it is the process of mourning what we are expecting to come, as well as what we know will never be. Now, for those of you here who may not have met me before, I'm a hospital chaplain in the community, and my area of specialty is working with people who have life-limiting illnesses. You know, as such, I'm someone who works with folks and their feelings of anticipatory grief for many different reasons. You know, be it the expected loss of a loved one, their loss of independence, or simply the loss of more time. So it may be just surprising to you all to hear that despite my work in this area, that I was completely oblivious to these emotions and how they manifested within myself after the election. You know, as a transgender person, this election felt very high stakes and still does feel high stakes for my safety. And throughout this past week, I have felt numb, I have felt sad, I have felt angry, sometimes even moments of feeling really giddy or hyper. My body was going through periods of not sleeping well, of aches, of brain fog, not able to find the words that I was trying to say. An important thing for a chaplain to be able to do. You know, all of these are symptoms of grief. And as I reflected on what would or could come to be. You know, in the hospital, I accompany patients often in the liminal spaces of their lives, the in-between of waiting for a scan or a test result, or looking ahead to what life will be like after they leave the hospital. You know, eventually, I realized I was in a liminal space myself, awaiting what the future will bring for me as a trans person, as a public minister, as an American. Now, I wish I had more to say to you all today about the need to keep fighting the good fight, but to do so would be premature. Because I am here before you today still very much processing what I am feeling and processing my own anticipatory grief. And so I am not saying these things not because they are true, but not just because I am not there yet. You know, today is not the day to get you energized for protecting democracy and fascism, despite how true those are, because it's just simply not what is needed today. So first, you know, we, all of us, need to care for ourselves and care for our feelings. Have the space together and apart to be sad, to be mad, to be afraid. Now, I'm here with you as your chaplain to let you know that whatever you are feeling is okay to feel. You know, I invite you to take a deep breath with me and think that to yourself, that whatever I am feeling is okay to feel. Anticipatory feelings are challenging because we are experiencing the prolonged feelings of loss before they have even or will even happen yet. This is a long process that takes its toll on our bodies, on our minds, on our spirits. To help us care for ourselves the best we can, I'd like to share some of the techniques that I use as a chaplain and that I use for myself to help people feel feelings and move through times of stress and change. And this is kind of an experiential sermon, but also a very opt-in choose your own adventure process. So I invite you to participate in any or all of these techniques as you are interested and able. This is a judgment-free space. I am wearing jeans preaching today. We are comfy. We are doing the things we need to do. Folks at home, are you laying down? You're at home. Lay down. Do whatever it is you need to do. Join us in whatever ways make sense for you. So the first thing we are going to do is focus on how our feelings are manifesting in our bodies. And so there are many ways to do this, like taking a deep breath, moving your toes or your fingers, you know, stretching your arms or your legs, maybe going for a walk around the room, just scanning your body to see how it's feeling, and many more that you maybe are routinely do for yourself. You know, each body is different with different abilities in different ways. Our bodies hold the emotions we feel. You know, I know for me, I hold my stress in my face, so I will often do kind of face massages when I'm having a stressful time. So let's just take a minute together and just do whatever movement our body needs in this moment. You know, feel free to leave your seat. You can go to the outer edges of the room or move around to respect personal space of others as needed. We'll do that for a little bit now. So now that we've taken some time and we've moved and listened to our body, You know, we can take inventory of how we are feeling now. You know, when I do this practice at home, I tried this all out with my cat yesterday. She was a little confused, but was in for it. You know, I often feel different emotions coming forward, you know, that maybe I didn't realize before I started the practice. I kind of visualize it as if, like, moving around my body kind of, like, lets loose or sets free some emotion that I kind of had stuck there. So in addition to feeling these emotions in our body, it's important to be able to name them for ourselves. And this is a big part of what I do as a chaplain. I hold space for others to name what they're feeling and going through in a judgment-free space. You know, this can also look like talking to, you know, our minister, Reverend Karen, you know, talking with a loved one or a friend, a therapist, or even journaling and having conversations with your inner self. Naming our feelings helps us understand them better and to be able to kind of release them. So with all this in mind, wherever we are in the room, no rush to come back to your seat. You know, let's take a moment to silently reflect on what feelings after we've moved around are rising up in us now. Once those feeling words begin to rise, let's make some space to name them for ourselves. So if you are someone who benefits from naming things out loud to someone else, you know, I invite you, you know, when we start, you can turn to the person next to you and you can briefly share just like the feeling words that are rising up for you. But if you would prefer to name these privately in your own meditation, show yourself love, like our Time for All Ages, and cross your arms, and that way others can know that you're talking to yourself right now. And for anyone online, you know, you can feel free to type these in the chat, you can journal them, or give yourself a hug and reflect them at home. So we'll practice naming our feelings for like 1 to 2 minutes, depending on the vibe of the room, and we'll start that now, whatever way works for you. just wanted to do a gentle check-in. Did the folks who wanted to share with others, do people feel like they've been able to share? I'm just looking if there's anyone, you know, if you haven't been able to share, can you shake your head so that I can? Okay. Well, this is great because now, hopefully, you've met someone that you can talk to in coffee hour, too, and share maybe some other things. But, you know, it's good to talk, to name these things within ourselves or within someone else. You know, naming our feelings is an important step to being able to move through deep emotions. And it may kind of sound, especially even just naming them within yourself, it may sound like something that is kind of like a given, like I'm living in my own body, so I know my own feelings. But really, naming it brings it and gives it power, and also allows, it gives you the power to be able to set those feelings free. And so now we have tended to our body and we've tended to our mind, and so now is the part where we tend to our spirits. And so this, you know, the question then you ask after this is, what is it that your spirit needs? What is it that makes you feel lifted, connected to something greater than yourself? And this is where we connect to that central value of love by doing the things for us that we love. So this is a little bit of homework because we only have so much time here together today. But after church today, you may feel like you need to journal or go for a walk, maybe listen to music, eat your favorite meal. You know, listen to your inner self today and take time to give yourself what it is that you need. You know, each of us has our own ways that we nourish our spirit. Exactly. And while difficult, spending time feeling our sadness, anger, fear, and grief makes us able to fully live into our capacity for love. And, you know, it is love, and that love for ourselves and love for others, that is going to be so crucial in these years. You know, I'll be honest, folks. I am still tending to and honoring my own feelings following this election. This was the first sermon I've ever worked on the day before, you know, preaching. You know, I feel scared, I feel disappointed, I feel sad. But alongside those feelings, I also have hope. Having those feelings, that and those feelings and hope are not mutually exclusive. You know, hope does not mean that, you know, everything will be all right, because I cannot guarantee that. I do not know what's to come. But sometimes hope is just a small guiding star in the darkest of times. You know, I have learned from my patients at the hospital that hope can always be found, because hope is adaptable. Just sometimes what we hope for has to change. When I voted in this election, I was filled with hope for our government. However, those hopes did not come true. But now my hope, I can feel it as I'm processing my emotions, is shifting. And instead, I have hope that my communities will be able to be a light for others. You know, I know that the new people that come into this church are going to be welcomed and loved by this community in the same way that I was. I know that on the days where I feel hopeless, that I have friends and family who will gladly share their hope with me. And I know that whenever I am rested and restored and able to, that I will be that hope for others. Friends, today is the day to take care of yourself, feel your feelings, connect with your people, and do whatever it is that you love. The arc of the universe is long and does indeed bend towards justice. And there will be a time to act. But in order for us to be able to do that and care for others, we must first care for ourselves. I don't know much about the future right now, but this I know is true, that we have hope because we have each other.